We get things rolling by saying hello and Happy New Year to our friend Colin Fleming. Happy 2018, Colin.
Same to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm not a big resolution guy, but the topic today is one that I can certainly embrace, and that's the idea of trying to do a better job with our use of the language in this new year.
Right. Well, Father Time, that most libidinous of fellows, has ushered in his latest young offspring into the world, and so many of us, like you were alluding to, make resolutions. Although I think it's pretty easy to suspect that a lot of would-be post-drinkers have already succumbed to their tipple. The eclair hutch has been violated on numerous occasions. But one thing that I think we need to do, which is easier than it might sound, is work on how we talk to each other in terms of the actual language we use. Because I think the fact that we all use the exact same 12 phrases, it seems like, and make the same mistakes is deadening our culture and making it very difficult for us to move forward as individuals.
And as you point out, there's an element of laziness in this speech as we fall back on some of these trite phrases. And you nailed a couple of my least favorites, including what's now the fairly ubiquitous "at the end of the day."
Well, yes. I hate to do this to people, but really, pay attention to that phrase. Listen for it now. Next time you're in front of the TV, you're watching the football game, or you're listening to pundits, would-be pundits talk, count how often you hear that phrase. And then you'll start to notice it maybe, probably, in your own speech. And you could turn it into a drinking game each time you hear it, although you'd want to water that whiskey down because you're just going to be on the floor. That is so everywhere, that phrase. But I think it serves a purpose with people. There's a reason a lot of times people default to laziness with the language they choose. And at the end of the day, its purpose is that we rarely speak in multiple clause sentences. We tend to go with short, declarative, grunty kind of sentences. And so when you stick that prepositional phrase at the start of your sentence, it's kind of this like throat-clearing, I'm about to be intelligent, kind of lead-in. It doesn't really get you anywhere. It's like a little trick to make you sound, or make what you're going to say sound, more intelligent than it actually is. And then people tend to cap what they've begun with the same exact phrase at the end. And so everybody is saying at the end of the day, I listen to like the sports on the TV, the people talking and the Sunday wrap-up shows or whatever, and no producer sits these people down and says like, look, you're killing me. You need a new phrase. Please, just not that one. Beat another one to death.
And then there are also those phrases or words that are so frequently misused. And you mentioned literally. That one has also been beaten to death and usually used improperly.
I guess the definition has been tweaked a little bit to kind of like make allowances for the way people, I still think, misuse it. But look, literally does not mean extra really. We all know that person. Who's like, all right, it's time to clinch this argument. It's go time, baby. I literally think he's the best ever. Well, if you extra really thinking it, then we must all step back, sir. And yeah, you see that a lot. And you see people not knowing the difference between then and then.
Right? I hate that one.
And compliment. And then we have these phrases now that I notice language. Language is, to me, it's everything I am, sound abetting sense and vice versa. And you see these taglines now on social media where someone will say something kind of attitudinal. I guess the word would be snarky. And at the end, they just say, just saying, which is kind of the adult version of nanny, nanny, boo, boo, right? Before you run off from the sandbox. And then the other version of that is, am I right? Spelled A-M-I-R-T-E. Which sounds like something mined on the planet of Idiota, right? But still.
And there's also a level of passive aggressiveness in this style of speech.
I think so. When you sort of close with that kind of tagline, you're taking your ball and you're going home. You're not allowing for further discourse. And we're laughing about this, but I think that's where we get to the really larger issues. Now, the way we talk is indicative, I think, of the ways we're going to branch out or not branch out in other areas of our life. We're going to become complacent with our language. And we have something called free will. A lot of times you see people discuss, well, it was instinctual. No, it's instinctual for the beaver to build that dam. It's not, nothing is instinctual for you as a human. You have free choice. You can work at the language you use, and it's very easy. But I would say that the people who don't, and this is why I think we're in the soup we're in, are often going to be lazy in the rest of their lives. They're going to think lazily. They're going to be lazy in their relationships, which really, when you get down to it, the relationships that matter, it's an issue of risking vulnerability. And I think that's the same thing with language. And that's why people hide in this kind of hive culture of just endless parroting of the same old phrases, the same old language. Like, ostensibly, you only have one life, and you are the only person who's ever going to be you. Wouldn't you then wish to kind of give it some stamp of, hey, I'm my own person? Don't speak in terms of, oh, I love to laugh. I can stay in or go out. I don't take myself too serious, nor adverbs, apparently. But you see that over and over and over again, and it's just one indistinguishable pigeon from another indistinguishable pigeon.
Colin Fleming with us here on Downtown, and as social media bleeds into every aspect of our life more and more, we also see the takeover of the acronym.
Social media has culled the individual. It's culled humanity. It's a case of a lot of virtual people living virtual lives with virtual relationships, counting likes, which really is the lowest form of accreditation in our society. I mean, you know, though, it's very sad. I think this is why depression is so rampant. It means a lot to a lot of people to get those likes of the cupcake they just took a photograph of. That person doesn't actually like you. We know when we have people in our life who really care about us, that in part that's so special because not a lot of people do. Human connection, real connection, is rare. And when you say something, you attempt to be funny. And then at the end, you write in the LOL or Ritoffel or Lamayo. You would never say these things in real life. What you're doing when you do that on social media is saying, hey, I've tried to be funny. But being funny is really difficult for me when I'm writing things. So I'm signposting this at the end so you know you're supposed to laugh. If I was standing in front of you, I would jerk my hands about wildly or laugh myself at my own joke. And then you would know that you could chime in. But for the meanwhile, lol, haha. And yeah, you see so many of them, and you wonder what finally is going to be the bottom of that particular crevasse where we say, all right, let's rebound. Let's speak to each other again like humans.
And is it that social media presence that allows everybody, in their at least in their mind, to have the same ability to have their words seen as people who are legitimately talented, famous, or other type things? Is it that puts the emphasis on leaning on those trite expressions because there's a comfort level there?
I experience this all the time because I am tasked with my job to be an expert on a lot of different things and a lot of different mores. And what people want, though, is their voice, their two-bit opinion, as it were, oftentimes, like the drunk guy next to you at the bar who's weighing in on whether Gronkowski is the best tight end ever and some other guy wants Mark Bavaro. And they want their voice to count every bit as much as anyone else's voice. But if we went down to NASA today, you and I, they're not going to be like, you know what, Colin, Rich, have a go at one of these rockets. It's cool. You guys are experts. No, it doesn't work that way. But it's now seen as almost anti-democratic if you say any kind of anything that pulls rank on someone else's ignorance. Look, you can go out and learn it too, right? You don't just have to sit there all night watching TV and, you know, going out with your buddies. And you can go out with your buddies and you can discuss ideas. It doesn't have to be the same old standard regurgitation. And I think that's the culture we've gotten into now. People want to put blame on politicians or whatever, but the mortal version of Lucifer could be running this country, and we would still be in this kind of quagmire because we just default to laziness. And then what happens is no one wants to risk any individuality.
Right.
And we've inverted these sort of virtues. Like, we now say all the time, well, I'm super chill. Oh, he's intense. That's a bad thing. Having passion is now a bad thing. But look, passion is not a bad thing. You need passion for your soul and for your very humanity, and ultimately for any happiness of real consequence. So, at the end of the day, sorry.
Words are currency. Spend them wisely. Be smart about what you say.
Yes, I think so. I think not just be smart about what you say, because people have natural intelligence to them. It's in there. But if you don't cultivate it, whether you're Da Vinci or whether you're Bobby Meathead, it's not going to get the kind of airing that it deserves, that you deserve as a person. And I think you're abnegating your own individuality. So yes, be smart about it, but also have some courage with it. Be yourself, because what happens when a person is themselves, maybe they choose their words a bit more personally, other people think, hey, you know what? Went over pretty well for him. I can do that too. I'm going to get in on that. And then people start to connect in more profound ways.
And at some point, I recommend this to students all the time, go pick up a copy of The Elements of Style and revisit that.
Right. Well, there's that sentence. It's not The Elements of Style, but in the similar book on writing well, where Zinsser says, if you want to write long sentences, be a genius, which to me is almost kind of like, you have to be careful with that in this stage, because again, note it, get the rabbit ears going. Listen to how people speak to each other. You will very rarely hear within their language the hint of a comma. It's all these barky little bursts. And when you start paying attention to that, you hear the world differently. When you hear the world differently, you see it differently. When you hear and see it differently, you think it differently. And when you think it differently, you start to think about yourself differently. And that, more than anything, is the key to moving forward from this hellish, hellish place we've gotten into as a devolving society.
Wise words, as always, from our friend Colin Fleming here on Downtown. Colin, thank you much, and we look forward to talking with you again next Tuesday afternoon.
Sounds good.